listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. We've got the preeminent draft expert with us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I'm not saying that facetiously. I'm saying that literally he is a preeminent draft expert sitting right next to me every single, well, every weekday morning from 7 until 10, working our tails off here. Just working our tails off here. So, Bucky Brooks put out his mock draft, Lance. He's got the Texans taking Kayvon Thibodeau with the third pick.
Okay.
And Drake London with the 13th pick.
Ooh, Drake London, wide receiver, USC. Okay. Not the worst.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Nico Collins, I mean, I don't know that that would be the best fit, but it doesn't really matter. You just want to get good football players. Now, I am lower on Drake London than pretty much everyone in the country. So I've got more like a second-round grade on him. Not that he should go in a second, but I put my grades don't change from year to year. My grades are, I give you a grade as if everyone who has ever been in any draft is in this draft too. So in other words, what is your – I'm not saying where do you go. I'm saying what is your grade? And I have him as a 6.3, which is a plus starter. I don't see him as a really good wide receiver one. I see him as a solid – wide receiver two, a big possession wide receiver. But that's kind of, but Nico Collins is more of a big field stretcher with build up speed. Drake London is not a separator, but he is a ball winner because he's so big. Like he's shot, scouts were shocked that he measured in at 6.037, I think. 6.03 7/8, because they legitimately, 6'5" scouts I know believe that Drake London was going to be. Believe that Drake London was going to be 6'5". Guys who stand next to him say, this dude is legit 6'5". So, I mean, I'm getting a little too picky here, but I would just say
I
would really like a Chris Olave, for example. Maybe not at 13, maybe a little further back. But Olave's got the ability to run all these different routes, has got deep speed. Like Drake London is kind of specific where Chris Olave can do a lot of different things.
Okay, I saw Drake London a few times, and I had him. Ed McCaffrey.
That's my comp.
That's your comp. That's what I told you. That's what I told you. That was my comp for him. I can see him being Mike Evans.
See, too. I don't see people say the comp is Mike Evans, Ed McCaffrey. Well, that's originally. I just don't. I don't think he's.
And
good
I don't
as
think
Mike
Evans is. Well, Evans is a one.
Evans can run a little bit, but yeah. I felt. Oh yeah, Mike Evans is a one on. Well, you just stick him on other teams.
Godwin, though, he needs Godwin on the other
side.
Okay,
ask him. If he played for the Colts, would it be a one?
Yeah.
Texans?
Yeah.
Titans?
Yeah.
I'll keep going. Chicago Bears. Packers.
Yeah, well, but no, he'd be a one on a lot of teams. Like Drake London might be two.
He's a one for sure on most teams, yeah. Mike Evans is. Is Mike Evans one
so
of the
what
top,
you're saying is Mike Evans is one of Mike the best Evans receivers is, a top.
Top 10 in a game, yes, 100%.
Yeah.
It's not even debatable.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is a top 10 receiver. Top 10 receivers, you have 32 receivers catching wide receiver one status for their particular team. Only probably 18 actually qualify, probably. Mike Evans for sure.
You know, and it's not, you can't comp him, but Drake London might be a lot like DeAndre Hopkins. Not a lot of separation, but he wins balls.
Well, that's it. So that's a question. Can he be DeAndre Hopkins? And I'm going to go back, and I watched him in December. I need to go back in maybe even November. I need to go back and watch him now and see if I see him differently. Because my problem is with D-Hop, D-Hop was a great route runner, like really understood routes and then understood how to be sudden and create space. Now, Drake London can create space for himself. The same way DeAndre Hopkins, because he's just big. But D-Hop was also really good at being sudden in tight quarters and being kind of twitchy in tight quarters in terms of his upper body and with his hands. He was great at extending his hands and making catches outside his frame. Just everything about his late catch talent was elite. And I don't know that I see that right now with Drake London, but that doesn't mean it can't materialize. But even then, DeAndre Hopkins was drafted in the 20s. Although he became a much better player than where he was drafted.
Well, we had a topic the other day on Sports Map. Not you and I think it was Josh and I. on Thursday, where it said a lot of Texans fans are like, no, Davis Mills, don't get him weapons. Davis Mills is just a stopgap, and we're not here to find out about Davis Mills. We're here to get good players. Well, it doesn't matter what quarterback comes in here. If it's not Davis Mills, the next guy needs weapons. And if Drake London is the best player available and he's going to be a weapon, if Breece Hall is there in the second round and you take the running back, if you take Evan Neal with the first pick, you're helping your offense. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It might not be Davis Mills, but whoever it is getting some good football players mm-hmm. that you're going to need down the line.
Right.
I don't care about what, if it's not for Davis Mills, it's for the Houston Texans getting really good football players. And then there's the question of Brandon Cooks, because there's an article that came out this weekend that said, man, a lot of teams really want Brandon Cooks. I want to keep Brandon Cooks. What are you going to get for Brandon Cooks right now?
Right.
Are you going to get a fourth rounder? I'd rather have Brandon Cooks.
I always look at it the same way. Like, you know, and no one agree. By the way, we're in the minority because most teams would rather deal off those guys. That's why DK Metcalf is being talked about, and that's a different topic that we need to get into. But you just don't see it. In baseball, it never made sense to me. Well, wait a minute. Why are you dealing away a young guy? Why are you getting rid of your entire roster? It doesn't make sense. You've got to build around somebody at some point. But I'm not saying Brandon Cooks is a build-around guy, but what you're doing with Brandon Cooks is saying, okay, we're going to have a legitimate NFL target for Davis Mills, our young quarterback, to grow with. It would make some sense versus, look, it's risky. Like, if you get a third for him, okay, I can maybe taking a third-round pick for Brandon Cooks. If you're going to get a fourth, which I think is probably the price tag for a Brandon Cooks, more like a fourth. If you're getting a fourth, I think there's better value in giving Davis Mills a target to help him become who he's going to become, or to give him the best chance to. I think it's more valuable than a fourth round pick. So I'm kind of with you. Why not just hang on to him? And then maybe at trade deadline, you take a look. Maybe you do something at trade deadline based on how whoever you draft or bring in at wide receiver is playing. But I don't know why, other than maybe just not hanging on to that salary, you know, maybe wanting to just get rid of that salary slot in advance. You know, some teams, believe it or not, a reason that you could just give a fourth round pick for Baker Mayfield, see if anyone would take it, is because Jim Haslam doesn't want to pay $18 million for a backup.
Yeah.
That's not a bad, but when you look at Deshaun,
have dead cap, though.
But see, Deshaun's got, yeah, but that's not real cash out of his pocket.
No, right.
Dead cap, they can fade. Real cash?
Yeah, right.
That's why it's sometimes $2.5 million guys. Like, get him out of here. That's $2.5 million that I don't have to pay.
Right, right, right.
That's kind of a big deal to me. I don't care about your cap space stuff. Are we under? Okay, that's all I care about. I don't care what the dead cap is. I care about actual cash leaving my account. Now, your quarterback position in general is Deshaun Watson, $1 million, Baker, $18 million, whatever Jacoby Brissett's making. So you're going to be in the 20-some-odd million range. That's not the end of the world to have a quarterback number that's in the 20 millions total. That's not the end of the world. So you can afford to hang on to his 18 million. But Haslam might say, you know what? I'd kind of not like to have to pay this 18 million. I'd kind of like to not have to do that.
No, absolutely. No, I can't blame him. I don't want to pay.
And maybe Cal McNair would be saying that about Brandon Cooks.
Cal McNair doesn't know what
I know. I always say, like, here's what I think about Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy Haslam's like, hey, you know what? If we can move that, I'd rather not pay that. Here's what I think about. Legitimately, with Cal, I just think he doesn't even think about that stuff. I feel like he's a guy who doesn't know how much money's coming in, how much is going out. I feel like he doesn't have any idea. If I had to guess, Cal, what do you think about this guy's salary? I don't know how much he makes. Like, I feel like Jim Haslam would know exactly who the guys that he'd like to get rid of because it would save him money. I never think of Cal thinking of that stuff.
I think he might
do we not give him enough credit?
No, I think we give him too much credit.
You think we give Cal McNair too
way
much
too
credit?
Much credit? Way too much credit.
I mean, surely he's got to be a little bit more with it than we think.
Does he? Does he, though?
I mean, he almost has to be.
Are you, though?
He can't be at the level that I think it's at.
Are you, though?
A low bar, he's got to be higher than that.
Speaking of which, we haven't even mentioned the South Carolina women. Big ups. I'm for the cause. So
for the cause.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're an ally of the women's
I'm an ally.
Okay.
Yeah, team ally. Me and Jamel. Right.
You don't have to say team ally. You just say ally.
Well, right, right. But I'm on team ally.
Do you have you hashtagged anything yet that says ally?
Ally. Not? No, for the cause. I'm starting a new one.
Okay.
I'm for the cause.
Okay.
Yeah. So South Carolina won big. I feel bad for UConn, though, because they lost.
Yeah.
So.
Got to be a winner, got to be a loser.
Well, there does, but, you know, if you're an ally, it's hard to.
You don't want
to
see anyone lose.
Which, I don't want to see. Yeah. I want team friendship.
Yeah.
Right.
That's had to be tough, your Final Four, to have two teams lose.
Right.
How about the first round when you had to have, is the women's game, is it 64?
No one knows.
It's a mystery at this point. I feel like you could do.
I think it is 64.
I think it is 64. I feel like you could cut it to 32. You'd be okay. Because let's face
might
it.
Might not be. Might
it's
be.
Still, if you're not a one seed or a two seed, and
let
occasionally
me see the
a three
women's
seed.
Bracket. I don't, probably is there.
Google women's bracket.
Women's bracket. Well, yeah.
Because all of our listeners are dying to know.
Right. Women's bracket 2022. Yeah, it's 64.
Yeah. I didn't fill out a.
You didn't fill one out?
Not this year, no.
Why didn't you fill one out?
Because I had to have all ones. I would just pick every favorite to win every game. Do I need a bracket for that? All ones to the Final Four. They're all playing twos. Like the top seeds dominate in women's basketball.
Well, apparently.
This year was a 1-1-2, right?
It's 60. I don't know. No one knows.
This year in the Final Four is a 1-1-1-2.
It's 68.
They
got to play in two, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same as the men's game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's 68. So good. Congratulations. Big ups to South Carolina. You know, yeah, it was 1-1-1-2. So you never know who's going to win in the women's game. Oh, yeah, you do. The better team. The one seed's always going to win. 8-13 ESPN. And the number two seed that made the Final Four was UConn. They're 14th straight. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So there's that.
You know.
You know who's going to win.
You know who's going to win.
Start and give us that.
I can just tell you this. If the if you're a one seed, you're probably going to win it all.
No, you. I don't think there's ever been a two seed. There's ever been a two seed that's won, okay? JD says, I'd put A.J. Brown at wide receiver one over Mike Evans. I think
Yeah. A.J. Brown I would put over. Well.
I think Evans is more accomplished.
Oh, it's right there. It's
there right there.
I mean, I can't really take anything away from A.J. Brown. But, yeah, that's I hadn't thought about A.J. Brown. But
yeah.
My point was still Washington, Philadelphia, Dallas. I mean, I might put him over CeeDee Lamb. The point is Mike Evans is a really good player. That's the point. I just, by the way, Ed McCaffrey shouted me out for having him as the comp. Like, he got so excited that I put Ed McCaffrey as the comp for that he had that on Twitter. He's like, oh my gosh, super excited to see that at Lance Zierlein put me as a comp for Drake London. He goes, I'm sure he was excited to hear that McCaffrey was his comp and then disappointed to find out it wasn't Christian. Dude, Ed McCaffrey could go now.
Oh, no. Ed McCaffrey
Ed
was
could
a player.
He could go.
Why do you have that, those jeans with holy crap. The mom was a soccer player. The grandpa was an Olympian.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about some jeans, the McCaffreys. Now, they also got some injuries. Oh, the son does. Anyway, hey, there's other news that we haven't gotten to. Kareem ripping LeBron, which is nice, and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, when we come back, our resident Laker fan, RJ.
Yeah,
we're going to let him weigh in on all this because for whatever reason, there seems to be for a team who's not even going to make the playoffs. We seem to have a lot of Laker stuff coming up at the end of the year.
Oh yeah,
so
because they're not making the playoffs.
I guess that is going to be the case. So we will get to. We'll get to what Anthony Davis had to say. I thought, boy, his comments were ironic. But Anthony Davis and LeBron and imagine
Kareem.
This. It's just not working out. Legendary Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is not happy.
It's a shame that there's so much chaos
and
going on in
Lakerland.
We will talk
to our resident
RJ,
Laker fan
we'll
when
do
we
that.
Come back.
We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I'm talking about my people at Chastain Ford. You want 0% financing? You want no payments for 90 days? You want 0% financing for 60 months? I mean, who's doing this? Okay, no payments, nothing down. How are you doing this in this market today? Well, they're doing it at Chastain Ford. Listen, if you order your vehicle from Chastain Ford, if you order it, You ain't paying MSRP. You're just not. Okay? They're going to work that deal, and they're going to get it to you at the best price that they possibly can. They're not adding on. They're not marking up. There's dealerships that are adding on $5,000, $10,000. Well, it's the market cost. What? No, we're not doing that here. So if you're looking for the best deal that you're going to find on that Ford car or truck or that pre-owned vehicle, and they've got plenty on the lot. Now, that's a different deal. What do you got on the lot? And I need it now. Well, you got that. They've got that as well. And 90% of them are certified vehicles. So you're looking for that car or truck. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Ford. It could be on the lot and on the pre-owned vehicle department. Or that Ford car or truck, and you want the best deal you can possibly get. There's one place to go. Let's go see my peeps at Chastang Ford. You ask for, I'm telling you, go over there. Now, if you want to do it all online, you can, which you can at other dealerships because they want you in there so that they can mark you up. They can add on. Ain't doing that at Chastang Ford. But you can get to the dealership as well. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Tell them you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 820 on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Just got confirmation. Bernie the Wolf.
Wolfson.
Well, he's Bernie the Wolf.
Yeah.
Bernie the Wolf is going to be joining us on Thursday morning right here on ESPN. We just got confirmation.
Now, last we heard it was sensible draft discourse, I think. I know he changed because trolls were messing with him too bad, so he changed his company name from sensible draft discourse to sensible draft discussions. He's had to change it multiple times because of the trolls. But so we will have him on to talk about on Thursday to talk about this year's draft class, how he sees things. He's got what's called Burnalytics, which are similar to analytics, but he has his own friendball scores, which is like it's an analytics that takes into account your personal character and specifically how I think you fit into locker rooms.
Well, and how friendly you are.
Yeah, I think that's the name, Friendball, yeah.
Yeah.
Friendball
scores. I got it. So we'll find all those out, and hopefully we'll be able to get him. Is he going to be live at the draft? Does anybody know?
I don't know. We'll have to ask. I don't know what he's got. I mean, last I heard, his mom lost a foot because of, she's been in a wheelchair for a while with the Daya. And so we'll have to see what's going on with Mama in North Jacksonville. Yeah, Bernie the Wolf, our draft expert, RJ, is from, he doesn't ever say Jacksonville. He just says north of Jacksonville. So that's all we know. And he considers himself the original draft scout ahead of Todd McShay, which, you know, actually we had the original and Mel Kiper on. So, just a lot to catch up with Bernie the Wolf Wolfson. Now, we teased this. We talked about the Lakers, and I don't care what happens to the Lakers. To me, if you have a team with two jinxes like Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony, you almost have no chance of winning. But Russell truly is a tiki statue now. You almost have to bury him in an ancient burial ground just to be able to have a chance to win if Russell Westbrook is on your
team. It's so funny because Russell Westbrook's quote, I mean, when Carmelo Anthony was here, what did he say? He's mentally challenged, right?
No, he said it was a challenge to mentally stay ready, is what he said.
Yeah, he said he was mentally challenged.
He's a challenge to stay mentally ready.
I'm challenged mentally to
come
off
the bench.
That's not
what
he said. He said he's
mentally
challenged.
Would you like me to find the exact quote? He did not say.
He said he's mentally challenged. There's nothing. Listen, there's no way to refute this. He said he was mentally challenged. And look at what Russell Westbrook said now. Apparently, being around Carmelo Anthony, he's also challenged. He said, yeah, that's the challenge. For me, I just have to find ways to be able to affect the game and figure out a way to be able to implement all of our guys so we can make a run, get in the playoffs, and hopefully get a championship. My challenge as the point guard is to be able to implement everyone else. I'll try to do the best I can. So, and the question was, how hard is it to play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis? Well, but it's not hard to play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis because they're never there. They're Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is talk about a tiki doll. He is a China doll. He is so, so broken all the time that he can't ever get on the court. Now, what was Anthony Davis's quote?
Anthony Davis just said, Anthony Davis, in his words, say, because I had to double check this. Anthony Davis.
Is this Ballsack?
No.
Isn't that about Ballsack?
No, it's his quote.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing that I think about personally is what we could have been had we stayed healthy all year, said Davis, who has missed 39 of the Lakers' 78 games due to various injuries. He has missed. Now, this is Anthony Davis who has missed half of the games so far this year. Anthony Davis said, "Boy, I just think about what could have happened if we were healthy." He said, "What could have been? Guys feel like, okay, what could have been if I was healthy all year? LeBron was healthy. Kendrick Nunn was healthy. You think about those things. We put this team together and it looked good on paper, but we haven't had a chance to reach that potential with guys in and out of the lineup. So the most frustrating part of the season is not being sure of what we could have been." Okay, LeBron, A, is getting older. You can expect him to be dinged up. But okay, you can say LeBron. Kendrick Nunn, I get that, younger player. You're a given that you're going to be injury prone. Let me tell you how many games you've played, Anthony Davis. In your career, Anthony Davis has played, and since he's been a Laker, I'll give you the Laker numbers. He played 62 games in 2019-2020. 62 games.
That was
the pandemic.
That was a COVID year.
Last year, 36 games. Was that shortened due to COVID?
Nope.
Okay. Well, it was a shorter schedule, but he still missed like 36 games. This year, he will miss more. He missed half the season last year. He'll miss half the season this year. In New Orleans, he played 56 of 82 games in 18-19. 75, 75, 61, 68, 67, 64. Dude, he's only hit 70 games twice in his entire career. Has he hit 70 games? He had 75 back-to-back, and he's been hurt since then. RJ Saunders, our producer, as our local Lakers fan, like, what were your expectations? You knew that he was injury-prone coming into his Lake. We knew that he had. Now, he took some tumbles and all this. I get that. But what were your thoughts whenever he was traded to the Lakers? Did you expect it to be this injury-prone?
I didn't expect it to be this injury-prone. I think we understood what we were getting, but we also understood there weren't too many stars that were saying, we're going to wait until free agency for you to come grab us. So I think the Lakers said, our best shot at getting a second star is we're going to have to trade the farm for him. And I think when Anthony Davis is healthy, John said this last week, I think he's a top 10 player in the league when healthy and he's playing. But when he's not, I mean, who is it? I mean, well, can't say who is this guy. He's street clothes. But I mean, when he first came and he played that first preseason game against Golden State and he had like 27 and like 9, it was like, oh my gosh, we have Anthony Davis on our team. Now it's like, oh my God, we got Anthony Davis on our team.
And then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar chimed in. Everybody's piling on this team. It's not even in the playoffs. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said this. Some of the things he's done, he's talking about LeBron James. Some of the things he's done and said are really beneath him, as far as I can see. Some of the great things that he's done, he's standing on both sides of the fence almost. You know, it makes it hard for me to accept that when he's committed himself to a different take on everything. It's hard to figure out where he's standing. You've got to check him out every time.
Well,
that cannot be more accurate.
Well, because LeBron stands on whatever he thinks the most popular thing
that's
is.
Right, that's it.
And for Kareem is old school activist. Like, for Kareem, it is a non-starter.
Kareem.
Hong Kong over China, and that's that. Like, Kareem is that
Kareem
guy.
Kareem was with Jim Brown and Muhammad Ali.
Sam Cooke and all those guys
at the one night in Miami.
Kareem changed his name from Luau Cinder to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because he had a personal awakening spiritually. Kareem is from the generation, the late 60s generation, where it was true activism, and there's plenty of true activists right now as well. I'm not saying there's not. For LeBron, yes, I get what Kareem's saying. Yes, you've taken some very popular stances and some stances, you know, but there are other stances. I'm telling you right now, for people who actually are not just fanboys or not just, you know, sort of coulda casuals, like for a guy like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like old school Bill Walton types, they're going to look at this and be like, whoa, you just told Daryl Morey to shut up and educate himself about freedom. Like, that's crazy. They're not going to be okay with that at all.
No, not at all. All right, when we come back, Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk is going to join us. We're talking some NFL stuff with Josh Alper next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, how about some QC?
No, how about you with your marble?
How about absolute marble and granite? That's what I'm talking about. Oh, you're absolutely right. It is absolute marble and granite. It is time to talk about Jeff Aronoff. And what is awesome about Jeff Aronoff is that he's going to fix your place up. He's going to redo. What is it? You need the kitchen all totally torn up and new cabinets, new countertops, new floor. You want a remodel? That's what Jeff Aronoff will do. Are you just building right now and you want all of the, you want the bathtub, you want the vanity, you want countertops, you want everything that Jeff Aronoff can do this as well, okay? You want to put in an outdoor kitchen, an outdoor patio. You want to put in a pool. All of these things, the tile for the pool, Jeff Aronoff can do for you, and he can design it as well. Designed ours, loved it, helped us sell our home. If you're not doing something with your home, something big, you're not changing it, and guess what? You're not getting your money back on your home. You got to upgrade, people. So give Jeff a call. Let him start the process. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 834 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to break down some of the stuff that is going on. Josh, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We appreciate you. I'm on your Twitter feed, and it's at Josh Alper, A-L-P-E-R. You don't tweet much, but you tweet some good stuff, so it's a good follow there for those of you that might want to follow. Josh, I see the Michigan stadium sign there on your picture there. You happy that Harbaugh's staying?
It was funny. I wasn't thrilled with the flirtation. I think that, you know, I thought last season was something to really build on and took some of the momentum away. But, you know, I think he's as well suited to win there as any coach is going to be. So I guess in the long run, we'll see. I hope he's telling the truth that this was the last time he's doing that dance.
It was the open. It was an open. He was looking for an open relationship with Michigan. He wanted to go out and just like, I want you to let me do whatever I want. Like, the whole thing felt dirty to me. And I started hearing rumors about it when I was up there for the Joe Moore Awards and we were doing presentation. And I heard from someone who had spoken with, I don't know who they had spoken with. I don't know if it was Harbaugh, someone with the administration. I don't know who they spoke with, but we started to hear that at that point, which was very strange, I thought. He was getting ready to play for the national, you know, in the Final Four and hopefully for a national championship. It just felt like a very strange time to be openly considering an NFL job. We got you on to talk some NFL. I've got something very specific I want to talk about. Something very, very interesting is happening right now. DK Metcalf, there's rumors about DK Metcalf potentially being shopped. Now, you know, I understand the idea that you're in a rebuild if you are the Seattle Seahawks, but you need to have good players. You need to have core players, and that's something you've been losing left and right. But it's hard to not, Josh, it's hard to lose sight of the fact that DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, three of the top wide receivers in football over the last 3 years have all been dealt from their teams as opposed to being given the top flight huge money that they're seeking. Is this going to be the case with DK Metcalf as well? Is this the new reality that teams get rid of A-plus wide receivers because they don't want to pay that guaranteed money?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be on the table, and I think it's going to go beyond DK Metcalf. I would watch Terry McLaurin in Washington. I think there are a lot of guys that are coming up on contracts with teams that may not be in a position to feel like the Cardinals did or the Raiders did with Davante Adams and certainly the Dolphins with Tyreek Hill, that you have both things going on, right? You have teams that are not in a position to guarantee that kind of money to a wide receiver when they don't know who their quarterback is. They don't know what that future is going to be. And there's only so much that DK Metcalf can do if Drew Lock's your starting quarterback. But for another team that's trying to win now, it's time to go all in and throw all that money at the wall. And, you know, you look no further than what Cleveland did with Deshaun Watson. And these deals are just going to keep getting bigger. The salary cap's only going to go up in the years to come. And teams like the Rams and Bucks and others have shown that the salary cap can be really nothing more than, you know, a brief bother if you really want to figure out a way to get these teams in. So it's a fascinating time because you have both sides. You have teams that are saying, we're not ready to win now, so we're not going to pay the money. And then you have teams that say, we'll pay whatever it takes to win a Super Bowl this year and figure it out down the road.
Well, and we were just talking about it with Brandon Cooks here in the city of Houston. There's a lot of talk about a lot of teams want Brandon Cooks. But what does he bring? DK Metcalf is going to bring a nice haul. You know, so and the Texans aren't winning anytime soon. Maybe not for a decade. Who knows? But what is Brandon Cooks going to bring? I'd rather have him on the team if he's only going to bring a fourth rounder or so.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. Although, you know, Brandon Cooks, I think, you know, it's in his contract. He's got to get traded every couple of years, right?
So yeah, right.
He's you know, he's a guy who moves around. But look, I think that Brandon Cooks is a perfect example of a guy that teams are always, they're not entirely sold that he's as good as they can get and as well as they can do. But then for other teams, he's the best guy available. And you're right, for a fourth round pick, that doesn't do much for the Texans. That doesn't do much to move the needle. But if you hold on to him and in the summer someone tears an ACL, something else happens, maybe that's the second round pick, and then that becomes a viable option for Houston.
No, absolutely. We're talking with Josh Alpert, Pro Football Talk here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you think about the league maybe dragging its feet on the Deshaun Watson suspension since he's only going to make $1 million this year? It's obvious they're trying to circumvent this whole thing. Would you wait if you're the commissioner so it actually has some teeth?
Look, I think that you have to – I think it's a bad look for the league for him if you were to have him go out and play 17 games this year. And I understand the salary implications, and I think you're right. It would be something of a even lighter slap on the wrist if you're not losing that kind of money that Watson's going to lose. But I think that after waiting all of last year and, you know, not putting him on the commissioner-exempt list now and just waiting and waiting and waiting, it doesn't, there's no good optics for this. And I think that the league needs to, you know, deal with it now. And if that means that the suspension is a little bit longer than it might have been under other circumstances or some other way to remediate that. But I think it is something that needs to be worked out probably in a macro scale, that teams can't do this and players can't do this to basically say that, you know, we're not going to really get punished because, yeah, I'll miss some time, but I'm not going to lose anything money-wise. And when you're giving a contract like that, there should be a financial cost to a suspension, certainly.
You wrote about Katie Blackburn saying that this could affect Joe Burrow's contract. How does Deshaun's contract affect all the quarterbacks in the league?
Well, it affects everyone. I mean, you know, Deshaun Watson's an incredible talent, but, you know, Joe Burrow took a team to the Super Bowl, and he's, you know, the Bengals have pinned their entire franchise to him. And if every dollar of Deshaun Watson's contract is guaranteed, how can you say to Joe Burrow that he can't get the same deal with the Chargers and Justin Herbert and every quarterback that's going to be coming up in the future? This is now set a benchmark. You're Joe Burrow. You're a class, you know, you've been a class act throughout your time in Cincinnati. You're a local kid who's done great, and all of these things that, you know, Deshaun Watson comes with baggage far beyond anything that Joe Burrow has you know, sniffed. And how can you then say as the Bengals, well, we don't guarantee money like that? Then Joe Burrow, you know, I think is well within his place to say, I'm not signing another contract with you until you switch that around. And I think that's going to be the change. We saw Steve Bisciotti from the Ravens said that this is it's going to make these negotiations harder for every quarterback, and it really is. And it was something that we've heard at PFT, that the Browns have not made a lot of friends around the league by making this trade and then handing over this contract to a player who's you know, under as dark a cloud as Deshaun Watson is right now.
And the point I made to John earlier is that, can you imagine if they then tell Baker Mayfield he doesn't have to play and they'll still pay him when the league is worried about this becoming the NBA where you have players just decide, yeah, I'm just not going to play, but you're going to still pay me. Can you imagine if they do what they did with Deshaun and then have Baker basically sit out and give him $18 million, and they don't even – and they keep him on the inactive list the entire year? I mean, all that would do is just infuriate teams even more.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't even thought about that. I do assume that Baker Mayfield's going to wind up somewhere else for the, you know, by the time the season starts, just, you know, for one way or the other.
Let me know if there's a team who wants him, Josh. Let me know if there's somebody who actually wants Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, well, you know, the USFL is starting back up, so that might be true.
They need some quarterback.
I do think that, you know, in terms of Baker Mayfield specifically, if I were the Seattle Seahawks for 1 year, I would certainly be willing to roll the dice on that over Drew Lock and Geno Smith. But that, you know, that's me, not Pete Carroll.
What are you giving up, though?
I mean, a conditional mid-round pick. And I think the Browns will take that and be happy to be.
Oh, yeah.
Have him off the roster.
There's talk the Browns have to give up a pick just to get rid of him.
That may well wind up being the case. And if that's the case, then you do it. I don't see how going any other route is something that can work. You know, for the Browns, you have to break off with Mayfield one way or the other. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a crazier off season?
No, not anything close. I mean, the Tyreek Hill trade, I think, was the craziest one to me because it's sort of something that was like weird all off season with him, and then you start hearing one morning, oh, he might be on the block, and then all of a sudden the Jets and Dolphins both have deals, and it just the speed that everything's moving and the sort of sense of what's going to happen next, what's the next next shoe to drop, and I don't think we're done. I think there's still more to come. And whether it's DK Metcalf or someone else in a trade, that the all-in mentality that the Bucks and Rams did the last 2 years has, you know, everybody playing that game, and it's just going to keep getting wilder and wilder.
Are the Dolphins good now?
I think they have pieces. I think they have a lot of the pieces in place. Last year, and I felt like that run last year where they won the 7 straight games and the sort of things that they had in place there are still there. I do have big questions about the quarterback still. And I think they put pieces around him that give him every chance to succeed. And I love the Mike McDaniel hire. But I'd like to see Tua do something beyond his freshman, sophomore year of college to make me feel like he's a truly elite quarterback.
Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk writer, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh, we appreciate your insight. Let's talk again.
Will do. Have a great one.
Josh Alper, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's welcome in a new sponsor.
Yeah, I'm really excited about QC Kinetics. If you guys are tired of dealing with chronic pain, my wife currently is dealing with bone-on-bone knee pain. She's preparing for the Boston Marathon, and it's heartbreaking watching her suffer through the pain that she's suffering through. It's something that, you know, was just diagnosed within the last couple of months, and couldn't be happier to have her. We're getting her connected with QC Kinetics. And the reason is simple. If you suffer from chronic pain, knee pain, joint pain, there are new treatments that are available. And I'm not talking about surgery or steroids. These are regenerative treatments from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. And QC Kinetics is the leader in these exciting biological therapies that help restore and repair damaged tissue in your joints. And you get lasting results. And that's something that I think is very important to point out. If you've got pain in your knees, your shoulder, hip, back, joint pain that won't go away, if you need to check out these new treatments, make sure that you do that, because this has astonishing patient satisfaction reports. And they actually help your body restore and repair itself. There's no downtime. There's no drugs. And most importantly, there's no surgery. So call right now to make sure you get your free consultation with our friends over at QC Kinetics. I promise you this, if you need to learn more about the biological therapies and changing the way that you think about dealing with joint pain, that's why you need to reach out to QC Kinetics. It's very important that you do that. If you've got joint pain in your knee, your back, your shoulders, that's going to make all the difference in the world. QC Kinetics.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, we're watching right now, we're watching Inventing Anna. Have you seen any of it?
Yes, Papa. Why are you wearing your stuff, Pa? I started watching this weekend, and I'm already looking at stuff. I'm like, okay, we need to cut that for RJ to use.
Uh-huh.
Because when she's like,
you look like one of the puss.
Yes. What are you wearing? She tells her something. There's something. There was some sound bite.
There's plenty of
where
them.
She says something about her being so puh.
So,
and yeah,
for
so
those
I'm
you
watching,
don't know it.
I'm on season two. I was up until 11:30 watching the end of season one, episode two. I was up till 11:30 last night finishing episode two. So, yeah, I'm in on Inventing
seven.
Annie. Are you? And it's Julia Garner, who you know as Ruth Langmore.
She's just Ruth Langmore. That's all I know.
Yeah, about. But it is.
She's not Ruth Langmore in this.
The accent is going to throw you off, and it's going to feel like, is this just a bad imitation or something?
But I don't think so. I think
it's used. I think it's a very specific type of. My guess is she listened to her over and over and over. It is an interesting story. Why did you bring that up?
Because that's what we're on right now, and I just can't stop thinking about Anna Delvey. Go look it up. Look up the story.
I don't want to know anything. I'm only on episode two.
It's
but
Netflix.
The way
watch
she talks,
it's really great. And we're on that, and I'm on women just cheating everybody out of everything. Because we're also on the Elizabeth Holmes.
That's all I'm watching now. Oh, yeah.
Theranos. No,
I'm already caught up on Theranos. I'm waiting for the next episode.
I know. We are, too.
So, you mean the one who talks like this? And she's like, I believe that we have a great opportunity for us to be able to get all of our blood. It's actually a pretty good invitation. So, yeah. So, if you get all of the blood and we have a chance to change the world, we have a chance to change the world with what we do with all of our blood. Like, what?
I mean, that, y'all, that
it's
is
actually a really good.
I've dead on.
Trust me, I've been working on it because between the voices and, yes, such a broke-ass puh. Like, her, which sounds like an Eric Cartman character.
She kind of is.
And although they did her on Saturday Night Live, they did an imitation, and the girl nailed it. But the show was, it was still like a hot show, but the early stages where a lot of people probably, like me, I knew what it was a reference to, but I hadn't seen any of it. But I'll show it to you. She did a really good Anna Delvey, yeah. But then between her and Elizabeth Holmes, which these are real stories. I also this is all I'm watching. I'm watching The Dropout, which is Elizabeth Holmes, who basically just
that's on Hulu, everybody.
Was a total fraud. That's on Hulu.
Which you got to watch. It's really
Inventing
good.
Inventing Anna.
And by the way, she's from St. John's.
Yeah, she went to St. John's here. Inventing
and her dad
Anna,
worked for Enron and got fired. He was a vice president.
Yeah, got fired. Inventing Anna, which is on Netflix, another one who scammed a bunch of people.
Is anybody out there that knows Elizabeth Holmes that grew up with her and went to St. John's?
I'd be curious about
smart
that.
Smart people listen to the show?
Yeah, one from St. John's owns the station.
Oh, yeah, no. But I asked him about, I don't think he knew, he didn't know her.
Well, she'd be like 40-ish right now, I think, something like that. And so his son, you know, like even his oldest son is younger than that.
I don't think she'd be 40. She's mid-30s. By the way, she got pregnant right now. I think she got pregnant, had a kid, and they're thinking, or she's pregnant right now, or whatever the case may be, and they're hoping that that will help her sentence.
She's 38. She just turned 38.
They're hoping that that will help her sentencing because she was found guilty. But Sonny right now is on trial.
Sonny's
a piece of work.
Not a good guy.
No.
Why are you doing all this stuff? She literally intentionally lowered her voice and then wanted to be basically female Bill Gates. But listen to the shows I'm watching.
She wanted to
not be Bill Gates, Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
But listen to the shows I'm watching. So I got Inventing Anna. See, this is why the algorithm has completely picked up, like, oh, this is what you want to watch, Lance. So this is what we need to have you on. So now I'm watching Inventing Anna, Scammer, Elizabeth Holmes,
Scammer.
Although she was a fraud, she wasn't intentionally a scammer. It just didn't work out, and she kept pretending like it was.
She was intentionally a scammer.
Yeah,
she scammed everybody. She knew what she was doing.
Well, she kept waiting for her technology to actually work.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I just got done watching on Netflix The Tinder Swindler, which somehow guys trick. And I watched Bad Vegan. You got to watch Bad Vegan.
I've seen it.
Do women get tricked into saying, listen, I'm going to need you. Basically, Tony the Hatchet Man Valentine, only with a Boston accent, was basically, listen, it sounds like Jason Barrett, if I'm being honest. The guy sounds exactly like our program director, Jason Barrett. He's like, listen to me. What are you doing? I need you to send me. You're going to take all your money out, and you're going to wire me $45,000.
If I tell you to do it,
are you going to do it? Come on. We're so close to the finish line. Like, what's the finish line?
Oh, well, you got to tell what the finish line
is.
Dude,
I can't. Well, the finish,
that she's going to have everlasting life.
More importantly, her dog is going to be immortal.
Yeah, her dog will be. She and her dog will be immortal.
I can't stand these stupid people. Like the Tinder Swindler. How do you keep sending people as men? You want to talk about spitting game, quote unquote? You think about when you hear about pimps who have women who they literally convince them to work for them for basically free. Go out there and have relations. Give me literally all of your money. Okay. And people willingly do it. Well, I think, first of all, that's crazy.
That's a little... You're forcing them, okay? You want to get hurt? You want to get hurt?
No. A lot of times
it's strong arm.
No, trust me. It's not strong arming. They talk them into it at bus stops. Like, it's like a father figure type of thing. It's psychological. Well, the same thing happens here, but it's like hard to understand. Hold on a second. You continue to send in both of them, the Tinder Swindler and...
You have a successful, hugely successful New York restaurant... And you let this guy take millions of dollars.
And you're pissed at him. You've got recordings saying, screw you. I'm not giving you any more money. And then you keep giving him
money.
You keep wiring. And when they did the thing where they showed the wires, in succession, you realize, holy crap, she was wiring like 25 to 40,000 every week to this guy. And they couldn't make payroll for a restaurant. I'm like, oh, my God. All I'm watching is Swindlers now.
Yeah,
my last four shows have been...
Mine
literally
too.
Been
I watched
Tinder Swindler.
Right.
So basically the algorithm's like, well, you know what this guy likes more than anything? Movies about people getting swindled.
Right. All right, 858 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, RJ Anderson, we'll talk about this Carlos Beltran thing with him on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's a writer for baseball writer for CBS. Right now though, I'm talking about, you know what? I'm having a good hair day. RJ, how's your hair today? Good? You good? Yeah, RJ's having a good. What about you?
I'm struggling.
No, you're having a good.
It's a struggle.
You're not wearing a hat today. That's different.
Yeah, I got TV today.
You got
every Monday and Wednesday. They won't let me wear a hat. What a bunch of jerks. Steve Smith can wear a hat.
Yeah.
What about me?
Well, I don't need to wear a hat because I got Doc Linville. And I'm telling you, I'm having a pretty good day for you Twitchers out there. See, the Twitch, they have a huge advantage over all of you because this is a radio and you can't see my hair right now. They can see my hair while we're talking. I don't know why they'd want to do that, why they want to look at us sitting here talking, and I'm eating now, but they can't see my beautiful hair right now. And now it's beautiful because of one person, and that's, well, God and Doc Linville, in that order, okay? Well, God, first of all, he made it so my hair had a bunch of holes in it, and my scalp was exposed. Doc Linville made it so that it filled that in. And it was easy, and it was wonderful, and the process is fantastic, and you should try it. All you have to do is go to 975hair.com. It's so simple. The process is wonderful. You'll love it. You'll love the doc as well. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.